I had one press to go back over that word that I got early this morning. He called it the law of expectation. So I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes for a moment and declare that. Say, from the perspective of the Lord, there is a law of expectations. And its demands are on others. And on myself. Love is a product of the heart. It's also a product of my spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit. Expectations are a product of the soul. My mind, my will, and my emotions. That's why there's a war going on. Amen? How many know the soul fights against the spirit and vice versa? So I want to kind of go back for a moment to 1 Corinthians 13 and how we brought to light some of the things that love is. And it's God's love in me that will overwhelm the power of the soul and those expectations. Verse 4 says, love endures long and is patient. Love is also kind, and love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious and does not display itself haughtily. Verse 5, it is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. That one really kind of stresses the reality of where the foundations are of a lot of our judgments. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, and in parentheses it says God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy, or fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, and pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Ouch. Now that part, my soul flares right up. Because when I suffer because of someone else's maybe bad choice, what am I doing? I go back into self-pity. I go back into a lot of the things that have gotten me into trouble originally. And like many of you, I love to fix it. I love to eliminate whatever is pressuring me, so that I can have a little bit of peace. And if you'll notice, it's me, me, me that's involved. However, when our Lord looked for the people that he needed to have around him, why would he choose those that he chose?
Yeah, I would have chose a better bunch that wouldn't have irritated me as such.
Yeah, I definitely would not have chosen Judas, number one. And I mean, another one, you know, Matthew with his tax collection. I mean, that's a mafia leader. You know, in that day, you bought your position, okay? And you got as much off the top of whoever crossed the city line as you possibly could. And so, you know, when Jesus was going to his house, he wasn't going to a poorhouse. You know, he was going to a very wealthy home. And everybody in the city knew that this guy raked off the top, and he knew everybody backwards and forwards. So, you know, think about that. So Andrew shows up, and he says to Peter, hey, I got it all put together. I finally found the Messiah. Yeah, right. You know, I'm sure brothers were no different in that day than they are today. Okay? And so I'm sure that Peter had attitude then.
Amen.
Okay? Ah, we'll see. Huh?
Human nature.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we think the apostles were superhuman. They were men. Okay? The disciples were men. The ladies were ladies. Some of them weren't ladylike. Come on now. Martha's got issues. She's PO'd at Mary. I mean, you know, why the hell did she carry the ball for a while? You know, what does that tell you?
And expectations.
Yeah, thank you. And Jesus, you know, hey, he says, yeah, I'm not going to disturb Mary. She's got the better choice. I mean, you know, whoa. I can just see myself flaring up inside and saying, yeah, and who the heck made you king? But he is. But he's not advertising. You got it? And he's trying to bring the kingdom of love into that everyday experience of living in Israel 2,000 years ago. I believe that if he would show up today in the average place or city, not just in Israel, but here, he would be welcomed at the beginning. But as soon as he steps on any of these holy cows, what would happen to him?
Go.
Get out of town. We don't want you here.
Or he'd be right back on the cross again.
Don't call him Ben Simon again.
But you understand. All right? And I'm not Antichrist. I'm trying to get rid of what Antichrist has left in me. Because he is alive in all of us. That anti-anointing is in all of us. It does its stuff. And you can see the evidence of it when you see the lack of love. Now, Bob Jones, I believe it's in 1977, died and went home. And he had an aneurysm in his bowel line, which was very similar to what happened to the gentleman that came to visit with us several times, Howard Pittman. They're very similar in nature. Howard was 40 or 42 when he had an aneurysm. Did any of you remember him? Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome man of God. And, you know, he went into the heavens, and the Lord told him that he was a believer, but he had his holy cows. And God decided to shoot a few of them down. And he was sent back and went all around the world testimony, especially at that time with the full gospel. And he was very active to change many hearts throughout the world. And Bob Jones was told by the Lord, when you learn how to love, you can come back. Well, what would you say? If the Lord said to you, as you crossed over, you got to go back and learn how to love. You're not done yet. What would you say? How would you respond to him? Well, my expectations. Ha ha. Right. Do you think your expectations are going to be exposed when you meet in front of him? I pondered on that one time. And I said, uh-oh, I'm not ready, Lord. I am not ready. There's a few I would like to crucify. Okay? And he said, why? It's all about me. I want to be comfy. And I didn't want to admit it. So whatever is about you, you may have a hard time to admit it. Okay? So the Holy Spirit has a job to do. He is trying to put your spirit in full control of this body. That's what he's trying to do. That's the purpose you received him. It's to convert you from a soulish person, male or female, to a spirit person. How do you live under the anointing of the Spirit 24/7? By living your body inside out. Your mind, your will, and emotions take a back seat to your spirit's instructions because your spirit is in submission to the Holy Ghost. If you let that happen, you're going to find that your reasoning is going to flare up. Your expectations are going to flare up. You're going to be judgmental, critical, and fault-finding to those who are telling you this is the way to go. Peter and Andrew go back and they listen to this new man on the block. And Peter says, whoa, he's different. He's different. He doesn't match Peter's expectations. In fact, Peter's expectations got blown out of the water. Do I get an amen? There are times you and I are going to be blown out of the water. There are times that God will shake you down to the very core to let you see the foundation that you are now trying to pull out. And how many know the roots go deep? 3, 4, 5 generations back it goes. And the only way that you're going to get that out of there is by the Lord's help, because on your own you will what?
Fail.
When you came back from Florida and the Holy Ghost got a hold of the two of you, it was such an exciting time because we saw him in full control for how many days? Rick, how many days?
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, having a life now of that type is a potential for both of you. Now, did you see a struggle after you gave testimony?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In every area.
Still seeing that struggle.
Right?
You're digging up cows.
Yeah, it's digging up cows. I like that one. And they come back to life, right?
They try.
Yeah, they try.
They try.
Right? Although we're better equipped to deal with them than we were before
them.
We went to Florida.
All right, all right. Yes.
We find it easier to deal and to...
But you're not the same people that went to Florida. You came back different because of your obedience. Okay? Now, when Bob was ready to go home to be with the Lord, because the Lord had told him and a few of his friends that he was going to be leaving, and he left on February 14th. Isn't it ironic that he would... God choose... February 14th to tell you you're going home on that day.
Because he could understand love.
Yeah, he finally got a clue. And he said it to his friends. I got a clue. How many heard the story about Rick Joyner's friend, the guy who actually was the manager of the hospital? Did any of you see that? Okay. Here's Bob Jones. Bob Jones, by the way, is, he was 84, I believe. And he had learned from 77 on how to love. He made it very clear that his second wife taught him how to love. And he gave her the credit. Now you say, oh, well, now what does that have to do with me? Well, maybe you need a second chance. Okay?
Not a second wife.
Not a second wife, a second chance, right. Anyway, the bottom line was that he's in the hospital. His wife is with him. She's watching over him. And there's one particular time slot. I think it's like 24 or 36 hours before he went home to be with the Lord. The manager of the hotel was a believer. He's one of Rick Joyner's friends. Well... Bob is in the intensive care unit. He's got hardly no energy left, okay? And the manager of the hotel told Rick, I know, because Rick called him, are you aware that Bob Jones is in your hospital? Yeah, he says, and I'm at the other end, and I made sure that when he entered this hospital that he stays at the other end, because I don't believe in that prophecy stuff. He's a believer, but I don't believe in that prophecy stuff, and I don't want to see him. So, it's late at night, and he is like 2 days or so before Bob went home to be with the Lord. The Holy Spirit had the manager in his office, and he had a little chair in there. I guess he was probably laying down trying to rest because he couldn't go home because there was something of an inspection or something that was holding him there. So he stayed, and it's late. And all of a sudden, his door only opens with a certain code, and there are two people in the whole hospital who know the code. And he hears click, 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 click. And he thought, oh my God, my secretary's here at this time of night? And it was Bob Jones in his little nightie. He had gotten out of bed. He had walked from one end of the hospital to the other, directly to the manager's office door, knew the code by the Holy Ghost, and come in. And he said, I have a prophetic word for you. And the manager wanted to pass out. He said, get up and write. So he got up in obedience because he felt the anointing. He knew what that was. And he began to write as Bob gave instructions about people in China, people in different parts of the world, Europe, Africa, you name it. All these things that he told him to write down, and he did, but he couldn't write fast enough. And the Lord said to Bob, you tell him to put his recorder on. He's got a recorder in the room. So he put the recorder on, and Bob kept giving out words of knowledge for so-and-so, word of knowledge for him, words of knowledge about his wife, words of knowledge about his children. And when he got all done, he walked back out of the room, went back to his room, and died the following whatever number of hours. Rick Joyner gets a phone call. He said, because this guy, when he got done with all this, and Bob walked out of the room, he passed out. He literally passed out on the desk. The anointing of God was so strong in that room that he literally conked right out. When he came out of it, he thought it was a dream. But the recorder was fooling him, and the written words that he had already written were verifying it was not a dream. And by the time he was able to connect with Bob Jones' family, Bob was already gone home to be with the Lord. So he called Rick and he said, I'm a believer in prophecy and I have a job to do. I will give out what God has given me through this man. Why? Because he had learned how to love. Did the manager know how to love? Did the manager know how to love? Was he in love with his traditions? How many of us are still in love with our traditions? How many of us are still in love with our expectations? And we hold on to them because they're secure and they verify who we are. And we, you know, if we give all that up, we might know who that Jesus is living inside of us. So when you are a lover, you will baffle the wise. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious and does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Try that one on for size. Say, love does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but love rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything. And everything that comes is ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Never fades. Never gives up. Never fails. When I realize that love can be covered up, can be stifled, but it won't fail. It'll spring up out of the midst of your circumstances, and it'll bounce into your face, letting you know, whoa, you're in the wrong direction here. And love will speak to you. His name is? Yeah, and it's His Spirit that's in us. So you see, no matter how deep our problem can be, no matter how difficult we perceive that our circumstances are, His ability to lift us up is absolutely on target. This morning, I was pressed to put a CD on, or actually, excuse me, a cassette. It's an oldie. And it's all in French. And it took me for a ride. And I became quite melancholy and lonely all of a sudden. And in fact, I found some tears rolling down my eyes because I do get lonely, just like the rest of you. And I give out hugs. It's not just for you. Some of them are for me. Why? Because we all go through a test. But when you and I are surrounded by those who are believing, such as the man at the hospital, we have believers around us that are limited. Oh, I should have heard something different than that. A strong amen would have been good. Mm-hmm. This week, you know, because you don't know how many are around you that are actually jealous of who you are. And they're not going to tell you. Because that light within you irritates the darkness. And it's going to flare up when you least expect it. When you're not quite ready for it, it'll just boop. It's almost like mushrooms. It grows overnight.
Mushrooms grow in the dark.
They grow in the dark, yes. Overnight. So think about the reality of what I'm coming to. Try to give you this insight about, you know, here's a man. In fact, I heard this morning on the news, on the internet, that the hospital in Dallas, how deeply they failed. Did anybody get that?
Oh, yeah.
The gentleman had 103 temperature, and they sent him home with an antibiotic and bufferins or whatever. 103. And now, I'll be honest with you, some of the black people have got a screaming session going on because it looks like racism. Mm-hmm. And I can verify that if I was a black person and I'm thinking about what they did to this man, you know, hey, they took care of the white doctor. They took care of the white lady that's a nurse. They took care of the other gentleman who happens to be a reporter. They're not throwing him back out. So, you know, I think God is screaming. I really think He's screaming. Because when I saw that, I was angry. I said, how could they put a man out there? 103 temperature. Oh, Presbyterians. We're going to pick on the Presbyterians? It could have been a Catholic one. It could have been a non-denominational one. It doesn't matter. They didn't wake up to the fact that he had been in Africa or came from Africa. He told them. Yes, he lied on his paperwork, but at that time he wasn't sick. So what am I saying? Hospital employees? Dangerous job right now. Their rear ends are on the line. I hate to say it that way, but they really are. So can we do something? Can you join hands with your neighbor?
Say, Lord Jesus, right now, we're lifting up the workers in the health field. That includes hospitals. That includes managers that are in their traditions. And Bob Jones is not around to wake them up. But there are saints interceding for them right now. Because throughout the nations, all during the whole world, they're afraid of taking care of the sick. Especially those that are coming from Africa. We're asking for favor and grace.
We're asking for a deliverance
from this foul disease
and an awakening.
So that by your wisdom,
those that are working on antibodies
to get this thing under control and get it destroyed once and for all, Ebola will not be a world killer. It'll be a name that is overcome by the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Any?